Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
All right, well... Welcome back to Oklahoma. What do you think about this funky little music we've got playing underneath here?
Maybe it will only last one episode.
We'll see. But what matters is we are trying to, listen to your feedback. And if you like it, let us know. If you hate it, let us know.
And if it's the wrong genre and another one works, let us know.
Well, this is Oklahoma Said, the official Oklahoma Ed podcast, and I am here at eBarnes73, and Scott Hazelwood, you are here as well.
Yeah, and I am at Teach From Here, so there you go. How about that?
How about that? This week's chat, I said it last week. I'm going to say it one more time, okay. Maybe two more times. I miss... Rob Miller's voice in our chat. He just hosted an amazing chat. It was excellent.
It was good. I think he took a risk too by putting a lot of questions out there directly impacting back towards leadership from teachers, and that can potentially be scary or terrifying for folks.
Yeah. So, no. I hope that some of the instructional leaders saw it and took a few notes as well, though. I mean, there were some great examples of how, school leaders can manage and lead their teachers.
Yeah, I thought there were some great ideas in there. And I hope that teachers also felt confident enough that they could share those suggestions in a space where administrators may be watching.
Yes. Are you laughing at me?
Yeah, sorry.
For those of you
that are listening to the podcast and can't see Erin, she just grabbed a highlighter and launched it behind her.
Maybe I leave all this. Who knows?
So,
question one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What personal traits or qualities are needed to be an effective school leader today?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Yeah, it was just worded in such a way you have to be thoughtful because, smile, be friendly. These are not what we're looking for, right?
I mean, those are important qualities, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can be a leader.
Right, or effective at leading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do all that all day long. That doesn't mean I want to be great at leading. So I thought this was good. It really gave me some pause on how to answer this.
Yeah, agreed. I went with a Claudia Swisher tweet here. She is at Claudia Swisher. She said, "I don't need answers right away. Sometimes I just need to think out loud. So someone who can ask thoughtful questions and support me when I don't know."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. If somebody's able to say, you know what, let me get back to you on that. Or, you know what, give me some time to think through that. I would appreciate that answer more than maybe a canned answer that comes automatically.
Right. I always appreciated people who could listen and make an informed decision. Whether I agreed with the decision or not, I felt like I was listened to. Which is different than, you've already made your decision, I'll entertain you for 5 minutes.
Right.
So I always appreciated administrators who, even if I grumbled about whatever it was they decided or took a step towards, at least I felt like I was listened to, and that meant a lot to me. I went with M. Kanabe, who is at @Obi1_Kanabe. She said, always put what's right for students first.
Amen.
Yep. Which can be really hard in this day and age, but so important.
Yes.
So question two is, what are some differences between a good school leader and a great one? And I think the differences are really small. It's the difference in dotting the I or crossing the T. It's just like little tiny things. When I coached on the sideline, the difference for us between being good and great was just real simple things. It was nothing huge or ginormous or anything like that. It was just small things. Did we handle these small things correctly?
Right. I ended up going with a Brian Hayes, and I think he likes to be called Buck based on maybe his Twitter name. He is at BHayes72 if you want to go follow him. He said, great leaders will not only talk the talk, but will walk the walk as well. They will find ways to utilize resources, staff, etc., to make things better. They have a vision for what the school is and can, and its staff can become. He has a vision for what the school is and its staff can become, and will sacrifice all to make it come true. Excuse me for fouling that up, but once I got it, it was right.
Reading is hard.
I'm the worst at it. You know what? Rob said something before this Twitter chat happened. He said, this is the first Twitter chat where we all get 280 characters. Yeah. There are several answers that are a little bit longer in here. I'm really good at reading two lines, but four gives me some trouble.
Jury is out on whether Twitter chat needs to be 280 or 140.
I know.
That's a little different.
But with this chat, it actually helped me a few times. So
yeah.
Just saying.
I found myself still tweeting with the 140 rule.
Good.
As often as possible. I went with Rick Cobb here, who is at Grindle Rick, and he said, good leaders do what they're supposed to do. Great leaders do what needs to be done.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think there's some truth in that. So I enjoyed that aspect.
Yeah. A great leader needs to be able to say yes when yes is appropriate, but totally needs to be able to say no when no is appropriate, no matter what the teacher, you know, whatever they're pressing on that,
right.
That school leader. I mean, no is sometimes the correct answer.
Yeah. I would even go in here and just say, making a decision. Because not making a decision is making a decision.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you ask a question, you're like, well, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
So, one of these I picked too. Wasn't this one? Okay. Question three.
Okay. Moving on. Question three. What can school leaders do to build and sustain a positive school climate? Such a good question.
I think it's important too, because school climate can make up for a lot of other shortcomings that may be inherent in your community or in your school population or whatever. If the climate is such that everybody wants to be there, gosh, that can just be like a yellow brick road for some folks.
Well, and it doesn't just affect teachers or students here. Uh-huh. I mean, you're making an impact on parents. You're making an impact on, your neighborhood that you're built in, or, you know, whatever. I mean, the climate affects more than what just happens within the walls of the building.
Right. Yeah. So. And for sure.
I went with Robin Fuchsa here. She is at Robin Fuchsa. Did I say that right? You're friends with her, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But don't mispronounce it, because then it sounds terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
She's telling you. I picked this one because she said, teachers are not poor, unfortunate souls. And then she added her blog post that she had written about why she hates The Little Mermaid. And give that a read. We've linked it in here. We're not poor, unfortunate souls.
Nope.
But, how can I best say this?
Just come out with it and earn the ire of Twitter.
Oh, the ire of Twitter. You know, we can take it. That's all. Just be open and honest with us. Be clear and concise with us.
Right.
That's all.
Right. We are humans capable of being brilliant.
Yeah.
So I went with Steve Gilliland. He is at STV_Gilliland. He said, model expectations. Don't ask others to do things you aren't willing to do yourself. I think that goes for almost any person in leadership. I have a little bit of leadership where I'm at right now, and I don't want to tell somebody to try or do something that I'm not willing to try or do first, even, and totally foul it up and go, oh, do better than me. There you go.
That's it.
Q4, question four. Do you feel you have a voice in important decisions in your school? and what can school leaders do to improve in this area? So,
is your voice heard?
Note to Edge Blocker, that was two questions, not one.
Do you feel heard in your school?
It's a little bit different here. I know that I am heard, but the way I have experienced higher ed is a little different than the way I experienced K-12. And so I'm not complaining, I'm just saying it's different.
Okay.
I know that in K-12, I had an administrator who I liked, like I liked him, but he made decisions and faculty was an afterthought. And that drove me crazy because as a person, I liked him, and as a leader, I liked him. But that one thing just drove me so crazy that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think I tweeted somewhere in here, every school has brilliant faculty and staff. And if administration doesn't use them in some fashion, then they are making a huge, huge, huge mistake. I know at Memorial, I felt like I had a voice in a lot of the things that we did with a couple of different administrators there. So I feel like they use their faculty for the most part.
Yeah.
Not everybody would agree with me, I think, but I felt like I was listened to.
Well, I think it really just depends on the ideas and maybe how grand or not grand they are that are coming to the faculty. I mean, they're not going to be able to take, I mean, not faculty, to the leader of the building or district. They're not going to be able to take everybody's, experience or input and implement every one of them.
Oh,
it's
right.
Just not going to be possible. And you're going to probably make a few enemies along the way, but hopefully your wisdom overcomes that enemy line. I don't know.
Right.
I do feel like I'm heard in my school as well. I have a seat at a lunch table if I ever ask for it, theoretically lunch table. We don't have a building, to actually sit down and have lunch. But if I say, hey, principal, let me meet up with you. Hey, even school founder, I really need to talk to you.
Right.
We can do that. And sometimes I'm my ideas are worth bringing to the whole school. And sometimes, they say why that can't happen. But I appreciate that they listen no matter what.
Right.
I went with the Derek Jackson tweet on this one, and he is at CPSV Ball Coach, and I'm guessing that's volleyball.
That would be my guess.
Because I don't want to guess anything else with a V in it.
Yeah, please don't.
Okay. He said, my lack of experience being a first-year teacher could lead to my voice falling on a deaf ear, but not hearing Clinton. I've been asked for my input on multiple occasions, and it's good to feel heard and valued.
Yeah, that's pretty important. Hey, please don't come ask me what the lunch menu needs to be. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, there's things like that. But you know what? If you're going to mess with the passing period, I would like to have some input on that.
Can we have pizza twice in a week?
Yeah. Does this level of paperwork need to go to teachers or not? That's not one for me, because maybe you're being mandated somewhere. But yeah, on things like just different school culture-y things. Yeah, I'd love to have it. But I went with Josh Turner. He is at Turner Joshua D. He said, not really. Seek and use input from teachers.
Yep.
Boom.
That's it. Well, question 5. How can school leaders empower teachers in their schools?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! There were so many great tweets on this one.
Yes.
I went with Claudia Swisher, the great.
She was in chat for the first time in a while, too.
Yeah, I know.
See her. She's been so busy bulldogging the poor legislators.
Which we appreciate.
Which we need.
Yes. She's been called the godmother of Okla Ed. Did you know that?
That's an appropriate title.
Yeah. She said, let me fail, but support my struggles. Don't tell me I have power over a situation unless I really do. Be honest about what we can change and what we can't. Listen when I cry, but don't rush in to solve my problem.
Right.
This is an opportunity where 280 characters was necessary. I don't think she used all 280, obviously, but she said so much in that one tweet.
Yeah, she did a lot. I know that one of the things that I can't remember, which question I answered this to, but I would go in and talk with my administrators on different things. And I remember when I was wanting to flip class, and I asked if I could go do something, and my administrator was like, "Nope, we can't do that, but we can maybe try this thing." I mean, so although she said no on the first thing, she was like, "Here's some other ideas." And I had the opportunity to work with a lot of administrators like that, and I felt empowered after that because they're saying, "Go do, you can try."
Right. And you get a little choice in the matter, and that helps. It helps a lot.
I went with a Brian Buck Hayes tweet here. He's at BHayes72. He said, "Leaders can empower us sometimes by just being the example of what they want their teachers to be. Sometimes they empower by listening to the suggestion of others and applying those suggestions, because sometimes they aren't the smartest people in the room."
Ooh.
Yeah, I hope I never come into some place with the attitude of I'm the smartest person in the room, because I feel like that does a disservice to all the different brilliance that each unique person brings.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. No, totally.
So question 6, how can school leaders support teachers when it comes to student behavior?
Oh, I had a tweet here. And it was, I mean, there was quite a bit of feedback. I know, like, I scratched a scab, and not only that, like, I picked it off, and like, yeah, wounds were bleeding. I had an instance once where I was cursed out, and a desk was flipped over in the classroom, right? And I'm like, "All right, man, go get." If I had tried to handle that situation, Scott, I would have failed, because I was emotionally charged at the time, right? So go see, you know, the principal. Kid comes back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
With a candy bar he bought at the principal's office. You know, there's buy a doll, it was like a fundraiser candy bar. Oh my word. I mean, like, oh my word.
I had a situation where, I guess, we need couches. We need couches to lay on air.
Yeah. Tell me about the situation, Scott. Yeah.
So I had this kid who was just being a real ding-dong in class, and I told him he was making too much damn noise. Get out. Now, I probably shouldn't have said damn noise, but he had, like, crossed over the line, and then the next line, and then the next line, and the next line. And I didn't even tell him to get out. I was like, "You're making too much damn noise. Just sit down. I will get to you. I promise."
Right.
You know, there was a line. He got everybody. So then it's like a similar situation. He gets all excited. He starts throwing around all kinds of bad language. And he said something bad about my mama. And I'm like, "Look, you just head down to the principal's office. We'll just deal with this later." And he never went there. He went off on the far side of campus and was buying himself a Coke, and got caught by another teacher over there who asked me what he was doing. I was like, "He's supposed to be in the office." I get down to the office, and the principal's like, "Oh, that sounds terrible. You should call his parents." And I'm like, "All right, I'm here because this got upgraded to you."
Like, and you're passing the buck back to me?
I clearly need some help here. So I was a little frustrated with how that all went down. And then he was in my class the next day, and I'm like, "Oh no."
Yeah.
Like, "You just cussed me up one side, down the other. I just can't look at you today."
And then went and bought a Coke.
To my class the next day.
Yeah, yeah. I went with the June Kim tweet on this one. He said, "Don't let students play mom against dad." Obviously, I mean, teacher against principal here, but don't let students play mom against dad in discipline issues. Hashtag talk to each other. You know, I think it would be handy for the principal to reach out and ask. I mean, you know, obviously in that situation, I was like, "You got to go. I've got kids here that I've got to deal with." But, finding a way before disciplinary action or candy bar are awarded to speak with the teacher beforehand, you know, or right after. And so we can come to an agreement on what that actual consequence needs to be, or I don't know, something. But candy bar is definitely not the solution.
No, and I think too that sometimes there's situations where you want the administration to legitimately kill the kid, and when they don't, we're like, "Why didn't you kill him? Look, this is what he did. He needs to you know, no longer be, you needed to smote him. And so I know sometimes we as teachers get frustrated that nothing happened, you know, like, why is he back? But also, I think if administrators would communicate to us what's going on and why certain things happened the way they did, I think that helps a lot too.
Well, and it's not like I am the queen of sending kids to the principal's office. I mean,
right.
Other teachers maybe, but if it's me, realize that this isn't, you know, happening all the time, and
Take care of my issue. This is the first kid I've sent to you, right?
Right, right.
If I'm sending a kid to you every day, twice a day, that's an issue on me.
Right, exactly.
So come help me fix that. And I think that's where this tweet comes in, who is Eric Justin Bates, at EGBBand21. He said, actually, taking care of the issue and being proactive in communication on plans for repeat or more severe infractions. Also, reinforcing to the student that their behavior wasn't acceptable.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Okay, time to get off our couches.
Okay,
right?
Okay. Maybe therapy session next week? Okay, question 7. What can school leaders do to address negative employee behavior? You know what? I missed these last few questions. I had to get off the chat. This was a great one too, man. I mean, you and I have both talked about sometimes avoiding the teacher's lounge and, you know, not wanting to get caught in that, you know, that cycle of negativity, which then will bring you down. And then, I don't know, you know, it's just, it's rough. So I'm sorry I missed this because I, you know, would have loved to have vent more. But I went with a Natasha Jefferson tweet on this one. She is at Jefferson_first. She said, address negative behaviors fairly and consistently.
Yeah.
Oh my word. I mean, I've seen teachers that are like, you know, out to dinner friends with the principal or, you know, counselor. And because of that, things are done a little differently.
Right.
And then I've seen teachers get reamed, you know, because maybe the principal and them kind of butt heads more often. And
right.
Neither of those things are fair or consistent.
Right. Right. I know that can be a sticky wicket managing humans because we are challenging. But I also know that crap behavior, man, it's like a cancer and just spreads. And, you know, you got to remove a cancer to keep it from killing its host, you know?
Yeah.
And so negative and controversial in a negative way, and those kinds of things, they just got to be eliminated. So I went with Tyler Bridges, who is at Bridges Tyler. He said, never ignore it or it will grow. Shift the monkey, move the cheese, start the bus. Whatever you do, stoke your stars, fires, and shape up or ship out your negative influences. I love it. Stoke your stars, fires.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great tweet right there.
All right. So question 8, what makes a principal an effective instructional leader?
Man.
Hey, you know what? Encourage me to do something crazy that will help the kids.
Well, and I mean, bring me ideas. Mm-hmm. Don't mandate them, but show me how useful something can be so I can decide whether I want to use it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you bought it and the vendor wants to see it used, don't push it on me.
Yeah, don't script my lesson.
Exactly. So I like instructional leaders who are out there looking for things also to bring to the table, to add more choice to the matter. But I also kind of want my autonomy, you know, so
right.
Don't be up in my space.
If I ask you for help, help. If not, help me get better by what you see me doing.
Exactly. So I went with a Scott Goodrich tweet on this one, and he is just at Scott Goodrich.
Easy enough.
Wait, is there an underscore at the end of that?
Yes.
Okay. Scott Goodrich _. He said, step in and teach a class. Lead PDs that show you, the leader, are still learning best practices. And I love that too. You know, I have seen leaders stay in an office. I have seen leaders put a desk in the hallway for a couple of days. I have seen leaders get into classrooms. I have seen leaders hardly ever in the building. And that's all mostly during internships, but it definitely opens your eyes, you know, I mean, to what kind of leader you're hoping for whenever you exit the internship, you know, realm. So
like, you know what you're looking for.
Yeah. But I liked that tweet. I thought it just reminded me of the different leaders I had seen.
Yeah, that's a good one. So I went with Rebecca Kerr, who is at Mrs. Kerr's underscore class. She said, one who is knowledgeable on best practices, innovative teaching, and current curriculum and standards. One who encourages teachers to take risks in the classroom and to share their learning with other teachers. One who gives teachers voice and choice in their PD. And I think sometimes that voice and choice in PD is difficult, but so important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, well, I mean, voice and choice. It's sometimes like giving the snake its head, you know, but right. In other times, I mean, some teachers really know the kind of track that they're wanting to take for that year. I mean, if you had been told, no gamification, you can't take PD in gamification, stop playing around with flipped classroom. No, we're not giving access to YouTube. I mean, you know, if you shut a teacher down over and over and over, they're not going to be willing to take risks. We want our teachers taking risks. We want our teachers right. always getting better, in my opinion. In my yeah. opinion, so.
We know what we need to work on and what we're interested in. And I think, yeah, I know that some PD needs to be mandated. The school has to do it. The district has to do it. Whatever. I get all that. But on the other hand, what happens if you take the non-mandated PD and you made it ed camp style?
Yeah. Ooh, power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, question 9, how can leaders provide timely and effective feedback to teachers? Wow, that, again, was a great one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And I went with an Eric Justin Bates tweet here because I know Rob and I have spoken about the way he has given feedback when he was a principal, and I know he's an assistant soup now, and so I don't know much about that. But he's, you know, Justin Bates says, realize that all feedback doesn't need to be in an official form. It can be a 2-minute conversation or a quick email. So the intent and effect isn't lost in translation.
Right. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Just lets me know you're even 2 minutes. I know you're there.
Yeah.
I know you're checking in. Stephanie Hint, I always enjoyed, in fact, when I flipped my class, I was the second person in my building to do it. So this was something that none of our administrators had a lot of information on. But when they would come in, they always had the best ideas. Have you thought about this? Have you tried that? What about this? Did you check here? Did you try this? Did you do this? And so even though they were unfamiliar with it, they like having that post-conference, post-observation conference, like within 5 business days or whatever, was so beneficial.
Yeah.
I went with Stephanie Hinton. She is.
Who is not Stephanie Heim.
It was not Stephanie Heim. And Stephanie Hinton is at the Steph Hinton. She said, when I give T's feedback, I want to meet them where they are at and help connect them to what they need to improve. I also want to help them make goals based on our combos. You don't have to be bad to get better.
Right.
Bang.
Bang.
You don't have to be bad to get better.
No.
Q10, complete the following statement about a current or former school leader. I appreciate underscore because he, she, whatever. And so
you added to what I put on there.
For those of you who are listening because you can't see us, Aaron put too many amazing ones to pick in blue, and I put in red, cheater.
It was. There were so many great shout outs there. I'll take it from my boom sauce and give it to A10, but then I won't have a boom sauce.
No, save it.
Okay.
So Aaron didn't pick one, and I've done that to Aaron a time or two as well. But so I went with Robin Fuchsa, and she said, I've been lucky to have several leaders over the years who saw my desire to do more and said, get after it. I've got your back. And I want to say, yes, I've had, some leaders do the same thing. And most recently, Justin Kofelt and, Debbie Bendick at Ebba Memorial, they were super important in supporting me to where I am right now. And so I just want to say thank you to those folks.
Well, then I would like to say thank you to Judy.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my word.
Just kidding.
Judy Adair and Peggy Lisenby for helping shape. I don't know if I've said this before. Peggy Lisenby, I actually took on her persona whenever I had to get up and teach for my first like 4 or 5 lessons, maybe the first month. of my full internship. I mean, I became Peggy Lisenby because I respected her so much, and I didn't know who I was as a teacher at that point, that I became her while teaching. And so those two, and Judy Adair, I mean, again, she was my advisor during that full internship time. She and I are still friends on Facebook and Instagram, and love and adore her. And anyway, thank you to both of you.
Oh, you talked a lot longer than I did.
Sorry.
Nah, but that's cool.
Okay. All right, here's where you pick two, cheater.
I did.
Cheater.
This is where I cheated. I cheated in the same conversation that Aaron cheated.
Boom Sauce tweets. And so I went with June Kim, who is at MPS Technology. He said, I appreciate at Sarah Snod for being my third grade teacher and one of the first to mentor me beyond the classroom and start my journey into education. And I say, Sarah Snod, also, thank you for being June's third grade teacher and the first to mentor him beyond the classroom, because I love and adore June. And if it weren't for you, I don't know that I'd know him.
Nope. Certain people only get to certain places through weird journeys, and you just never know where that weird journey starts. Right. So, Sarah Snod, you have blessed a lot of folks.
Thank you.
So I went with two Boom Sauce tweets here. One from Design Your Own Box, who is actually at LS Millot Millet. And she said, I've been through 26 years of professional, and most PD has been a repeat of what I've already learned. I want new ideas, not the same ideas repackaged as something else with the new and improved educational catchphrase. And I boom sauce that because I think most teachers feel that way. Like, I've been there, seen this, done that X number of times. Like, give me something new.
Yeah. No more snake oil.
Yeah. And then Claudia Swisher, who is at Claudia Swisher, she said, let me fail. And I think this was what you had said earlier. This was your answer to A5.
No, fail. This is different.
Oh, so this one failed, but support my struggles. Don't tell me I have power over situation unless I really do. Be honest about what we can change and what we can't. Listen when I cry, but don't rush to solve my problem.
No, that is the same.
Yeah, it was your A5, but it was my boom sauce. Because I think both of these, I think all of us can go back to some teacher and go, that was the person that nudged me to where I am.
Yes.
And all of us, if you've taught long enough, have experienced what Mellet and Swisher are saying here with their ideas on PD and on help.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. There's the chat hosted by EdgeBlogger.
Oh, man, and it was just a great chat.
Yeah.
So, next week.
Yeah, yeah.
What we don't have anything
for?
Written in here.
So that's the topic. I'm thankful for college football.
The topic is I'm thankful for college football.
No, it's no, just the just topic kidding. Is what are you thankful for?
And I think it's very appropriate with it being Thanksgiving next week.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's going to be hosted by the Twitter account at Oakla Ed. So, but the topic is, what are you thankful for? Oakla Ed.
Well,
and
I can't wait.
It'll be hosted by Oakla Ed, which is a small group of our people that kind of kicked this all off several years ago.
Yes.
So I'm not sure who's going to be tweeting from that account.
Man, that'll make it hard on me.
Yeah. So I don't know who you're going to interview.
I'll figure it out. Well, join us next time. Well, join us for the chat first, and then you can join us on the Oakla Said podcast so we can get deeper into the conversation. But the chat will be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday.
Yep, just like it is every Sunday.
And then the podcast will come out sometime after, but we're kind of willy-nilly, you know.
You know, it could come out as early as Tuesday or as late as Sunday right before chat. So.
Because hashtag real life happens, people.
Yes. This is a shoestring operation.
All right.
All righty.
All right, educators, you know what to do.
Go out and dominate the world?
Yes.
Okay, good deal. This will be a little difference you do.
What?
Quit talking bad about my mama.
They're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.